Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Soito Daf Mem Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur will begin at the beginning of the Gemara that you find 5 lines from the top of Daf Mem Vov. However, before we begin the actual Gemara, I want to issue a clarification regarding an explanation that we gave for the pasuk that you find at the top of the Amid. This is a reference to the statement that the Kohanim make in the Eglo Arufa ceremony, and they say, "Kaper l'amcho Yisrael asher podiso Hashem ve'al titein dam noki bekerav amcho Yisrael." The expression "Al titein dam noki bekerav amcho Yisrael," I recommend looking at the Targum Unklus on that, and we're looking at Pasuk Ches, and in the Targum Unklus he says, "Kanai emrun," the Kohanim will say, "Kapar l'amcho Yisrael di frakto Hashem." We're dealing, of course, with a murder that had taken place, so please atone or forgive the sin of this murder. Velo titein chovas dam zakai bego amoch Yisrael, and don't allow this to be a source of, we'll say, of prosecution. This spilled blood, this the murder that had taken place, be a source of chova, a source of liability for Am Yisrael. V'iskaper lahon al demo, there should be an atonement for this spilled blood. That's a general explanation of what this pasuk is really saying, and I think that that's an improvement on what we may have alluded to or explained in our previous shiur. Let us now turn to the Gemara. In the Mishnah, we learned that an Egla Rufa is acceptable even if it has a blemish. And we're going to now question that. The topic heading that we've written on the side is as follows. Mum eino posel v'egla. A blemish on the animal does not render it, or does not disqualify it for serving as an Egla Rufa. Another point that will come in under discussion is Avoda HaPoseles. We're going to speak about the working with an animal that disqualifies it. We have Be'eglon regarding the Egla Rufa and Pora Aduma, the red heifer. In both cases, working with those animals would have disqualified them. Let's turn to the Gemara. Contrary to what the Mishnah said, let it be that mum, a blemish, would render the eagle, the calf, disqualified, and we should arrive at that conclusion mikal v'chomer through kal v'chomer logic. Uma pora she'ein hashonim poislois bo mum poisel bo. The red heifer is not affected by age. In other words, there's no upper limit to how old the pora aduma could be to serve as a pora aduma. So age is not a factor, but mum, a blemish, is a factor by the pora aduma. Eglo she'shonim poslim bo. With regard to the eagle, it has to be within a year of age. And age is a factor by the Egel. So we would say that by the Egel, we're dealing with a more restrictive realm in so far as age is a disqualifying factor. Eino din she mum posel ba. All the more so, therefore, that mum should disqualify it. As we saw by the Pora, which was a relatively, we'll say, lenient realm, and yet mum pasled, mum disqualified. Ego, which is a more restrictive realm, more chomor realm, all the more so mum should pasle it. The Gemara responds, Shiny Hossam, the case of Parah is different. Yamakra, Asher Ein Ba Mum. And there's a limitation expression here. Ba Mum Posel. Only in it, in the Parah, does Mum render it unusable. The Ein Mum Posel Be Egla. And Mum does not affect the Egel, does not disqualify the Egel. So we have, in effect, we might have had a logic that we could have applied, but the Gzeiras HaKosov, the scriptural ruling, overrules the logic, and hence Mum is limited as a disqualifying factor to Parah, not a factor by the Egel. Elo Me'ata, well, if that be the case, that we are darshaning, that we're focusing on the bo expression, that and it being a limitation, and as a result, we're not going to learn from it a kal v'chomer. Well, if that be the case, lo yehu shar avoidois poislois bo. When it comes to the paraduma, it should not be that other work elements besides the oil. The oil is the yoke that the Torah specifies. A yoke upon a Parah Aduma would disqualify it. But besides that, it should be as follows, that other avodas, work experiences should not render the Parah Aduma puzzle. And yet, Aloma Omar Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Hiniach Alei Uda Shel Sakin Psula. Why is it that Rav Yehuda says that if one placed an Uda Shel Sakin, let's say an Aguda, are sacks, bags that are tied together. If he put them on the back of the Paraduma, even though it's not an oil, it's not related to a yoke, it renders the Paraduma disqualified. And we add another halach here, but we put it in brackets because it's irrelevant for the flow of the Gemara. Ube eglo ad shetim shoch. With regard to an egel, the aguda shel sakin, the bunch of bags on its back won't render it disqualified unless it actually walks with it. Timshoch means draws it. But what we see here is that you're telling me that the word bo is a limitation expression. Why then do we say that by the paraduma shar avodos render it disqualified when that should not be the case? We should say that only the oil, which is specified in the Torah, that disqualifies it, and other things don't. The Gemara answers, Shiny Parah, the Alfinan Oil Me Egla. There is a Gzera Shava from which we derive Rav Yehuda Amarav's Halacha, and that Gzera Shava says that we learn from Egla, where Shar Avodos Psal, and there the Pasuk specifies Asher Lo Ubad Ba, and we transfer that information, where we replicate that information onto the case of Paraduma through the Gzeira Shava, resulting in Sharavodos, other things other than, besides the yoke, render the Paraduma disqualified. The Gemara asks, Eglonami Tesi Eil Mipora, if there's a Gzeira Shava working from the Egel to the Parah Aduma, let the Gzeirah Shavah, let the word comparison work in the other direction as well, from the Parah Aduma to the Egel, and just like by the Parah Aduma, Mum disqualifies, by the Egel, Mum, a blemish, should disqualify. The Gemara says, yeah, but we already answered that, Ha Miet Rachmona Ba. But we already had the limitation expression of Ba by the Parah Aduma, telling us that only by Paraduma does Mum disqualify. The Gemara asks, well, Be'eglo Nami Ksiv Ba. You also, by the Egel, have the word Ba. If you look in Dvarim Perek Chof Aleph Pasuk Gimel, you will see that. We've included that Pasuk on the side. And if you if you just carry this train of thought all the way, it comes out, we'll say, Bo, by the Egel, Shara Vodos will disqualify, and not by the Bora. So we have the word Bo by Egel, by the Egla Rufa, which should refute Rav Yehuda Omar Rav's conclusion. The Gemara answers that the word Bo by the Egel has a different role. And we have a marking scheme and a topic heading on the side of the Gemara. We have a Nosei/Mivneh heading. The diamonds that you see as the Gemara unfolds are Mekoros, sources Sh'avoida Loi Poiselis Bekotchim. That working with an animal doesn't render it disqualified from serving as a sacrifice. Gimel Mekoros Bepsukim Uma Mechadesh Kol Echad. We're going to see three scriptural sources. And the obvious question is, what do I need three sources for the same thing unless each one has a new aspect to it? And that is what we will be preoccupied with till we get to the second of the wide lines. So in the meantime, we have the word Ba by Egel, and we're saying it has a role, he has a source of information from that Baal, other than telling me that Shaar HaVodos are limited as a disqualifying factor to Egel, but rather, as we saw earlier, not only by Egel do Shaar HaVodos possible, but by Pora Duma, the same is true. The Gemara explains, Hahu, the Bo that you have by the Egel, Miboyale, Limute Kodshim de lo Posla Buhu Avoda. In fact, Bo is a limitation expression, but it's excluding Kodshim, sacrifices, from being disqualified from Avodos, from having work done with the animal. And the result is, by Egla Rufa, Avoda Poseles, Bo, and not by Kodshim. Without the Pasuk, I would have thought otherwise. Salka Daita Chamina, I would have thought Lesi Bekal Bechomer Me'egla, that we should conclude that Avoda Yifsol, it will disqualify by Kodshim through Kal Vachomer logic from Eglo. Uma Eglo She'ein Mum Posel Bo Avoda Poselas Bo. With regard to the Egel, blemishes do not disqualify it, but working with it does. Kodshim, which is more restrictive, She'mum Poseles Bohen, blemishes do render it unfit. Eino Din Shavoda Poseles Bohen, all the more so. Avoda should render it, the Kodshim sacrifices, as being disqualified if the animal had been worked with. Oh, so therefore the word Bo comes and says, don't follow that Kal Vachomer logic. The Gemara now asks, do I really need a Pasuk to derail that logic? Would I even have thought? Would I really have thought to make that Kal Vachomer Ikul HaMifrach? The Kal Vachomer is inherently weak. It has an inherent undoing within it. Ma le'egla shekein shonim poslos ba. The egel, if you want to know why avoda poselis ba, it's because it's sensitive to age. And therefore, since it's sensitive to age, it can't be more than a year old, therefore, avoda is possible. But by kodshim, the thinking is right now that age is not a factor by sacrificial animals, and therefore, there's no reason to think that avoda would possible by kodshim. So I don't need the pasuk to come to that for that conclusion. The Gemara says, Otu kotshim mi leko de pasli behu shonim? Is the assumption that we made really true that within the realm of sacrifices, age is not a factor? That's not true. There are korbonos that must be brought when the animal is a specific age and not above that age. And therefore, to suggest that the Egel is a more restrictive realm because of the age factor, that's simply not true. Ki itzterich kra, I need the bo, word, to teach me that avoda does not pasul by kochim, lahanach kochim de pasla behu shanim. With regard to those sacrifices that are affected by age. If I didn't have the pasuk, I would have made the kal v'chomer that by egel, mum doesn't pasul, but avoda does pasul. By kochim, where mum does pasul, certainly avoda would pasul. The Gemara asks, granted, we established that we really do need a pasuk to undo the kal v'chomer we could have made. And that pasuk of Ba is going to serve as the source for kachim that avoda doesn't pasul. Yeah, but there's another source for that. The kachim de lo paslabu avoda mehocha nafka. Is it learned from here from the Ba word? Mehosam nafka. It's learned from a totally different source. A pasuk in Vayikra perichov beis pasuchov beis that speaks about blemishes that disqualify an animal. It says averes o shavur o chorutz o yabeles o gorov o yalefes. These are names. We don't have to translate each one of these different mumim, but each one of them is a blemish. Lo sakrivu elo lashem. These are not to be offered as sacrifices, and we infer. Eile I ato makriv, blemished animals are disqualified. Avol ato makriv kochim shen evda bohen avoda. But animals that are blemish free, but and they simply were used for work purposes, they're okay. So we see from Vayikrachov Beis the heter, the acceptability of animals that were used for avoda, for work purposes, as serving as sacrifices. The Gemara says, itzterich, I need the ba source. In other words, relying on Vayikrachov Beis, this blemish pasuk, wouldn't have been enough. Saka daita chamina, without the ba source, had I had just one source, hani mili, when is it that avoda does not pasul? Hecha da ovad ben avodas heter. That's where the animal was used for permissible, acceptable work. Avodas isur. Let's say the animal, you have an animal and it was used for plowing on Shabbos, or it was an animal used for plowing a vineyard in which kilayim is growing, or an animal was used with a different variety animal together with it. That's like we call the shor v'chamor example. An ox, which is an animal that would be fit as a sacrifice, it was used in plowing while tied together with a donkey, which is a Torah prohibition. That's an avodas isor. So I would have thought, emo litzeru, that an animal that was used in a prohibited type activity would be disqualified as serving as a sacrifice. Tzricha, therefore I need the additional source to tell me that even though the animal was used for an avodas isor, a prohibited type activity, it still is okay. Avoda does not disqualify, even avodas isor. The Gemara asks for honami, mehocha nafka. Well, there's still a third source. There's another source that deals with that, telling us that avodas isur does not disqualify the animal. And this is from the same chapter in Vayikra Perichov Beis. This is pasuk chof hei, and it says there in that same context of psukim that deal with mumin. It says umiyad ben nechor lo sakrivu es lechem. Eloikechem mikol eile. Mikol eile means from all of these. It's a pronoun referring to the mumim. And the pasuk is saying that from Ben Nechar don't offer to the Almighty a Baal mumim. When offering a Ben Nechar as a Gentile's sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, do not offer a blemished animal. Even though Goyim, Gentiles are allowed to offer sacrifices to the Almighty on personal altars, which is something Jews are not allowed to do, and when they do so, they're allowed to offer blemished animals on their personal altars. The Pasuk is saying that when the Gentile wants to offer a sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, it must be blemish-free. And we infer from this Pasuk, Eile, the blemished animals, Yato Makriv Avot, Ato Makriv Kochim, Shinevda, Bohen, Avoda. But animals that were used for work purposes are okay. They qualify as sacrifices. So now I have a third source. What am I to do with this? Itzrich. I need the additional source. Sakadaita Chamina Hani Mili Hecha the Ovad Bohen Kishem Chulin. I would have thought that the whole heter, the whole permissibility of using animals that were used for work as sacrifices, is if the work was done before the animal was sanctified, when it was chulin. Chulin means it was still mundane. Aval ovad bohen kishem kochim, if the animal was used for melacha, for avoda, after it was sanctified, which, by the way, is prohibited. Emo litzeru, I would have thought that using it for work purposes after it was already sanctified would disqualify it as a sacrifice. Tzricha, therefore I need the additional source to say that even under those circumstances, avoda does not pasul. Avoda, work with the animal, does not render it unfit as a sacrifice. The Gemara at this point goes back to quote what we saw above, Rav Yehuda Omar Rav's ruling regarding the Udo Shel Sakin. Before we read the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading which reads as follows: Ril and Shar Avodos Bepora Beegla, the yoke which is featured in the Torah, and other Avodos as they relate to the Pora Duma and the Egla Arufa. The Gemara will have a diyun b'shitas Rav Yehuda Marav, the pora nifselas al yedei hanocha greda shel aguda shel sakim al gabo. A discussion concerning that halacha where a pora duma is disqualified by the mere placing on its back a bunch of bags that were tied together, an aguda shel sakim. The Gemara. Gufa. Amar of Yudom Arav. Hinia cholea udo shel sakin psula. Placing on the back of the animal a bunch of sakin, sacks, or bags, is a disqualifying action. Uve eglo ad shetim shoch. With regard to a calf upon whose back one placed a bunch of sacks, it won't be disqualified until it draws it. Meisve, notice we have a long question. The Gemara presents a Taneg source which focuses on the opens up with a pasuk by Por Aduma. Oil, ein li ela oil. I would think that only an oil, a yoke placed on the Por Aduma, will render it unfit. Shara Vodas Minan, from where do you know other work activities will also disqualify the red heifer from being used as the Poraduma for Tahara purposes, for purification purposes? Amris Kalvachomer. We can apply Kalvachomer logic to conclude that Shara Vodas Pasel disqualified by the Poraduma. Uma Egla Shein Mum Poisel Ba. Sharavodos Poslos Ba. The Egel, the Egla Rufa, where blemishes do not disqualify it, and yet other Avodos do disqualify it. The Pasuk actually says, Asher Lo Ubad Ba, from the word Ubad Avoda. It must be an animal that wasn't used for Avoda. So we see the Egel, which is a relatively lenient realm, insofar as the blemish doesn't disqualify it, but Avodos do. Pora Shemum Poselba, the Pora, the red heifer, which is disqualified by a blemish, Enodun Shishar Avodos Poslin Ba, all the more so, other forms of work with it will render the Pora Duma unfit. Ve'im nafshach lomar, and if you find this kalvachomer weak, I still have a source for shara avodos pasling. Ne'mar kan oil, ve'ne'mar lahalon oil. By the pora you see the word oil, and by the egla rufa you see the word oil. Oil is a yoke. Mala Halon, just like by the Egel, it's not limited to the yoke. Shara Vodos Poslos Ball, other work activities disqualify it. Afkan Shara Vodos Poslos, so too by the Poraduma, other Avodos Pasel. Now, we noted before we're in the middle of a long question. We haven't seen any question yet. We simply have read a source that indicates that Shara Vodos Pasel by the Pora Aduma. And that's derived, and at the end of the day, it's derived through a Gezeira Shava. There's a bracketed section, which we will initially skip. Within the brackets, I can tell you, we have a note on the side. We can read the note together, the starred note. So, Graham Lashem Diluk, these brackets are for skipping purposes. Gachrem Nimsa Ikra Akusha. Right after the brackets, we're going to get to the heart of the question, the main question. I'll rebuke Amar Rav. Besocha Sograim, within the brackets, Hagmor Mevaeres, Mai Vim Nafshach Loimar. Why was it necessary to present an alternative source? What was weak in the Kalvachomer logic that was presented? That's the topic within the brackets. However, after the brackets, we raise the question. What was Rav Yehuda Marav's halacha? That the mere placing of the Uda Shel Sakin, the cluster of bags on the Por Aduma's back, disqualifies it. The mere placing, even without it drawing it, even without it walking with it. Well, we now ask the question, we skip the brackets. Umi Mokom Shebasa. Let's look at your place of origin. In other words, you concluded by the Por Aduma, as the Sakin will passel, from where? From the Egel. Well, Ma Lahalon Ad Shetimshoch. Afkan ad shetimshoch, by the that which is derived can't be any more extreme than the source. The source of your information was the egel, and by the egel, the rule is ad shetimshoch, until it draws it. So too here by the pora, the disqualifying element should be ad shetimshoch, until it draws it, until it walks with it. Why did Rav Yehuda Marav say that it's that the Pora is disqualified by the mere placing on its back even without it walking with it? So now this question is predicated on the assumption, and a reasonable assumption, that Pora is derived from Egel. If, however, I can demonstrate otherwise, that Pora is derived from something other than the Egel, then I can legitimatize Rav Yehuda Marav's halacha, his stringency, that the mere placing on its back is enough to disqualify it. And that's what the Gemara will, in effect, answer. But before we go further, we go over the bracketed section. Mai im nafshoch lomar. That phrase was in the Brisa, whereby after presenting a Kal Vachomer from Egel to Pora, teaching us that Shara Vodos passel by the Pora, we said, if you don't like that Kal Vachomer, if you think there's a weakness to it, I have another source. Well, what's that? What's the weakness? My im nafshoch lomar. So here we go. V'chitemo ikol lemifrach. You might say, well, there is a basis for weakening the Kal Vachomer. The Kal Vachomer was predicated on the assumption that Egel is a more lenient realm than Por Aduma. Not so. Ma le'egla sheken shonim poslos ba. The Egel is sensitive to age, and age is a factor that could disqualify it. Not so by Pora. And therefore, Shara Vodos might be a disqualifying factor only there by the Egel, not by the Pora. Inami, another weakness to the Kal Vachomer is Kodshim Yochichu. In the Kal Vachomer, we said Egel, which is not disqualified by blemish, other Avodas do disqualify it. Pora, which is disqualified by blemish, certainly Shara Avodas should passel. So the Kal Vachomer comes to a head when you say that by the fact that Mum passels, then certainly other Avodas will passel. Is that really true? Let Kodshim sacrifices in general disprove that. Shemum poser bohen, blemishes ruin, disqualify animals from serving as korbanos. V'ein avoda poselas bohen, and working with them, as we saw in the sugi above, does not disqualify them. So even though by the pora mum pasels, it might very well be that avodas do not pasel. Oh, so am I going to stop there and live with that conclusion that avoda does not pasel by pora? So to that we say nemar kan oil, the nemar lahalon oil. It says by the egel oil, and it says by the pora duma oil. Ma lahalon by the egel shar avodas, other avodas pasel. Afkan, so to hear by the pora, shar avodas will pasel. And we, as we learned this already before, we'll go over it again. Umimokom shebosa. At this point, the Gemara raises the question on Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. From where was Rav Yehuda Omar Rav coming? From where did he know that Sharavodos? That the pora is affected by shara avodas, is disqualified. He was coming from the egel, ma lahalon by the egel there by the egel regarding shara avodas ad shetimshoch. It doesn't become disqualified until it actually draws it. Afkan by the pora ad shetimshoch. Its disqualification should be based on its drawing of the Uda Shel Sakin. And not like you said that he niach, the mere placing on its back, is enough to disqualify. You can see that we've dashed, underlined, Achim Timshach, in order to draw your attention to the previous dashed underlining where Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, on the third wide line, it's spoken about he niach, merely placing. Here we see not merely placing disqualifies, but actually drawing. And just to review again what we said before, and that is, this question is predicated on the assumption that Pora Duma is derived insofar as work disqualification from Egel. Ah, Tanoihi. That issue is a Machlokes Tanoim. When we say a Machlokes Tanoim, you realize that precedes chronologically Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. So Rav Yehuda Omar Rav can be, defended against this question by this answer. There is already a machlokas tanoim diko de maisi lo me'egla. There are those that derive the disqualification of shara avodos by pora from the egel, and that we already saw, and that created the question. And iko de maisi lo migufa de pora. There are others that derive the disqualifying factor of shara avodos from the laws of pora itself. Oh, if it's from the laws of Pora itself, then we will be able to conclude that there will be a psul even without ad shetim shochim, with just hanocha, the sanya. And here we have that source, that other Tanaic source. This source opens with a pasuk from Pora oil, ein li ela oil. The oil means the yoke. Shar avodos, man. How do you know other avodos by Pora? Talmud Lomar Shelo Olo Oleha Oil Mikol Mokoyim. This is a pasuk from Pora Aduma itself, and this pasuk is including when it says Mikol Mokoyim, it's including Shar Avodas, not just the oil. And Rashi explains how the Chazal see this in the words. We can look together at the Rashi toward the last, we'll say, quarter or so of the Rashi column, of the Rashi commentary, which is in the outside the Tosfos column. There are no Tosfos in on this perek. Talmud Lomar Asher Lo Ola Ola Oil Mikol Mokom Dorish Le Beloy Oil. He darshins the posuk without, even though the Torah has the word oil written in it, it's darshined, it's explained through the oral Torah, through the oral tradition, as if oil is not there. Midalok siv asher lo ola oil oleha. It doesn't present the words in that order. Had it said asher lo ola oil oleha, then I would have been restricted to oil. Fesu hodok siv oil. In reality, the pasuk puts the word oil after the word Aleha. And it says Asher Lo Ola Aleha. And then it says oil. The drosha kidarishna kidarshina fi ozil, as we are darshening it. So if you just go back to the words of the Gemara, it said the pasuk said Asher Lo Ola Aleha, and then the word oil appeared. You have a right to say Asher Lo Ola Aleha on its own without the word oil, because of the fact that oil was placed later in the pasuk. It wasn't placed earlier. So I have a right to read the words Asher Lo Ola Aleha and then pause. And that would mean nothing was on its back. Not just a yoke, but anything on its back, just placed on its back, is enough to render it unfit, which is what Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav said. Well, if we're expanding this posuk to go way beyond the oil, so then what do we gain by having that example in the posuk? So the Gemara answers, the Bryce answers, oil poisel bein b'shas avoida bein shelo b'shas avoida. The placing of an oil on the animal's back, even without it drawing it, will render the animal unfit, the paraduma unfit, whether you're placing it on its back. B'shas avoda means in anticipation of the animal using the yoke for plowing purposes. The yoke is a device that enables the animal to be attached to a plow. So you put it on the animal's back a few minutes before your intent to use the animal for we'll call it yoke purposes. Bein shelo b'shas avoda, that means I put the yoke on the animal's back not because I had any intentions of using the yoke. Simply, I had a yoke in my hand. I was getting tired of carrying it, and I put it on the animal's back because that was a convenient place for me to rest, to put the yoke on its back to relieve my hands from their burden. So that, with regard to putting something on the animal's back, does that result in instant disqualification? Well, if it's a yoke, yes. Sharavodos comes to other things, other work, other things that you will that might have use for some kind of avoda, ein poslos ela b'shas avoda. They will render the animal unfit only if you're placing it on the animal's back at the time that you want to use the item for its designed purpose. But if I was carrying a cluster of sacks, of bags, and I was getting tired, and I put it on the animal's back just to relieve myself, that would not disqualify the Parah Aduma. The Gemara asks a question based on a standard, we'll say, Gzeres HaKosuv methodology, hermeneutics. V'yema, why not say as follows, Asher lo ola oleha equals klal. That's a general statement. Oil equals prat. That's very specific. And when you have a pasuk structured like this, klal uprat, a general, and then followed by a specific, ein bichlal ola mashiv uprat. The general law that will apply will be no greater, will be no more expansive than that which is indicated by the specific item. Oil in midiachrin alo, that only an oil will disqualify it, not other things, not a cluster of bags. The Gemara responds, asher, that word asher that you see in the pasuk, ribui hu, it is has a special, we'll say, inclusionary powers. V'tanyo nami gabli eglo ki hai gavlin, with regard to the egel eglo arufa, we have the same situation. Oil, ainli ela oil, shavodus minayin. The Torah specifies oil by the eglo arufa. Is it to be understood as just yoke and other activities not a problem? Tamud lomar shelo ubad bo mikol mokom. Im kain ma tamud. That means that any form of working with the animal will disqualify the egel. Well, im kain ma tamud lomar oil. So why the need for specifying yoke? Oil poisel bein b'shas avoida bein shelo b'shas avoida. The oil has the stringency that it will disqualify whether it's the calf is drawing it at the time that it's being used in its we'll say designed work form, as is the case in plowing, or even if it's the shlobishas avoda, it's drawing the yoke. You put it on its back because you wanted to relieve yourself of the burden of carrying around the yoke. So you put it on its back and it started to walk with it. Shara avodos ain poslos elo bishas avoda. Other items do not render the calf disqualified from being an egla rufa unless it's drawing things at the time that it's designed for that work purpose, and in contrast to it, you're having placed it on its back simply to relieve yourself of the burden. V'amah, and here the same style question as we saw just a moment before by the Parah. Why not say asher lo ubad bo klal? The egel is described as an animal that was never used for work, and that's a general statement. Oil equals prat. Klal uprat in b'chlal amashe b'prat. When you have a general statement followed by a specific example, we say that all that's included in the resultant rule is that which is reflected by the example. Oil in midiach rino lo. The yoke, yes, that disqualifies other things, no. We answer asher ribui hu. The word asher that appears in the pasuk is an inclusionary expression to include things beyond oil. Omar Rabbi Avo, Bo mine me Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Avo reports to us that I asked of Rabbi Yochanan Meshichas oil bekamo. This is a question of distance. The Torah says that The egel, a calf, will be disqualified if it draws a yoke, walks with it. How? What's the distance? Amalei kemaloi oil. Rabbi Yochanan answered, the kemalo means the size of the oil. Ibayla, when you say it walked the distance, that's the size of the oil. The oil is an appurtenance that has a length dimension to it, and it has a width dimension to it, and they're different. It's not a square item. So when you say kemlo oil, do you mean l'orko in its length, or according to its width, l'ruchbo? Omar luhu hahu mirabonon for Rav Yankiv Shmei, one of the rabbis, and his name was Rav Yankiv, says l'divrshim minei Rav Yochanan was explained to me by Rav Yochanan meshichas oil l'ruchboi tefach. The disqualifying distance of the calf drawing the yoke would be if it walks a hand breadth, which is the width of the oil. V'leimo tefach. Why couldn't he have said that meshichas oil tefach, that the drawing of the oil disqualifies if it walks one hand breadth with the oil on its back? Why do you have to add the word l'ruchbo? Ha komash molon. When by answering thusly, by saying l'rochbo tefach, we're telling you shi'uro de'ol, the proper dimension of a yoke, tefach have, its width is a tefach. L'may nafgamina, what practical bearing does that information have for us? L'mekach u'memkar, for purchases and sales of yokes. If you go into a shop and you, let's say you order an artisan to make for you a yoke, what he produces for you had better be a hand breadth, a tefach in width. Otherwise, he doesn't deserve payment for his not having made a proper dimension oil. Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul, mipnei ma omro Torah havi eglo benachal. Why does the Torah say that the eglo arufa ceremony should take place in the nachal? The nachal, I've seen it translated as a ravine. It's a place that's not cultivated. What's the significance of bringing it to this arid, uncultivated area? Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yavo Dovar Shelo Osa Peros. Let there come forth an entity that has not produced fruits. And that's another way of referring to a young cow, a calf that's a year old, hasn't matured to the point that it could produce offspring. So let this thing that hasn't produced offspring come. V'yeh and have its neck broken, b'mokum sheno saperus, in a nachal eson, this harsh ravine, hard ground area that's an unarable area, an area that doesn't produce fruits. V'yechaper, and let it atone, al mi shelo hinichoi la'asois peros. Let it atone for him who didn't allow fruits to be produced. In other words, a person was just murdered, and we need atonement, well, partial atonement for the murder. And in the result of a murder is this iasias peros, no more peros. My peros, what do you mean peros in the context of the murder? The murder victim. If you're saying by the fact that the individual was murdered, so there's no more procreation. So the Yegla Rufa represents a ceremony, because now the murder has caused no more periviribia. Had there been no murder, there would have been procreation. Now that there's a murder, there's no more procreation. Well, Ella Mayatawa, if you're going to follow that logic, if let's say the murder victim was anyway an elderly person or a castrated male who can't reproduce, so you're going to say that it wasn't the murder that stopped the peros, the reproduction. He couldn't have reproduced anyway, so there's not going to be any egla arufa. And that's absolutely not true. There's an egla arufa for any person that was murdered. Ela mitzvos. When we say peros have been stopped by the murder, we mean the person's ability to perform mitzvahs. And while he was alive, a person could do a mitzvah. Now that he's been murdered, no more mitzvahs. Those are the fruits of a person. Umoridin oisa el nachal eson. The Mishnah said that the egel, the calf, is then brought down to a hard ravine. Eson kemashmao. The word eson, as its simple translation indicates, koshet, hard. And as we've described, it's an unarable area, and that's where the egla rufa ceremony takes place. Tonu rabbanan minayin li eson shuhu koshet. From where do we know that the word eson means something hard, tough? Shenemar, the Gemara continues at the top of Amud Beis. The pasuk says, "Eson moshovecha v'sim besela kinecha." Without translating the pasuk word for word, we want to notice simply the juxtaposition of the word eson with the word sela. Sela is a rock. So you see that eson is associated with a rock, something hard. The Omer, another pasuk says, "Shimu harem esriv Hashem." V'ha'esonim moistei oretz. And Rashi explains, you'll notice the Rashi on the top line in the Tosfos column, like we mentioned before, Rashi occupies both columns. Moistei oretz, moistei, a mosad, is a foundation. And moistei oretz is heim harim. Those are the mountains. V'chol har shel avonim hu. Mountains are made of stone. So in this second pasuk, you see Esanim juxtaposed with Horim, which is a reference to, or Mostei Oretz, which is a reference to mountains, which are stone. Hence, Esanim, something hard. Obviously, Esanim is the plural form of Esan. Achirim Oimrim, minayin le'Esan shuhu yashan. This is a different approach. And it says that, this approach says that Esan is something that's old. And something, in other words, according to this approach, the Egla Rufa would take place at a spot that the earth was there from time immemorial, meaning it not freshly brought dirt over there. So from where do we know that Eson means something old? Shneamar goy Eson hu goy me'olam hu. Me'olam means forever, it has been forever, meaning something very old. And in this pasuk, you can see again, a son associated with me'olam, something that's always been there. The orphan I saw bekupitz me'achorel. My time. What's the basis of concluding that when you see the word orphan, it means from its back? Gomar arifo arifo mechata sa'of. There's a gzera shava that tells me to learn arifa of eglaruf from the laws of a bird sin offering. And the Rashi tells us on the fourth line from the top, mechatas of dechtiv bo, in that context it says mimul orpo, and mimul orpo is telling me from the part of the head of the bird that is in back of its face, approximately. That would mean from the back. That's what the Mishnah said. Me achorel, from behind. Umakoma osur milizro milevad. The Mishnah says that the place that Egla Arufa takes place is forbidden for cultivation and for le'evad. Now the word le'evad we're not going to translate yet. We have to go further in the Gemara to appreciate that further. Bear in mind that the Mishnah itself continues to tell us that the place where the Egla Arufa is processed is it's mutter to comb flax and to chisel stones there. So we have to try to understand what is meant by it being an usur, not only to plant things there, but umilevad. Tono Rabbonon, asher lo... before actually we go on, let's just look at the side. We have a topic heading, the Nosei Nachal Eson, this hard ravine, L'chulei Alma Osu Lizra Shom Be'osid, according to everybody. We're going to see Machlokas Tanoim shortly, but according to all opinions, it is prohibited to, in the future, after Egla Rufa is done there, it is prohibited to cultivate it, that area. Number two, Machlokas Im Zoroi Shom Be'avar. Haim Roy Lumokum Arifa. What about a place that had been cultivated in the past? Does that disqualify it for disqualify it as a site suitable for Egla Arufa? We're going to see Rabbi Yoshia says it's fit, it's Roy, and Rabbi Yonasan says it's not Roy. Now the Gemara. Tonu Rabbanan Asher Lo Ye Oved Bo V'Lo Yizorea L'She Ovar Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. The posuk is describing something that in the past Rabbi Yonasan Omer lehaba, the pasuk is referring to the future. Rova Omar lehaba de kuliamo lo pligi, as far as the future is concerned, everyone agrees that it's prohibited to cultivate it, the area in which a eglover was processed, dechtiv velo izorea. That is, let's say, clearly a reference to future prohibition. Ki pligi l'shavar. The machlokas concerns the grammatical implications with regard to the past. Rabbi Yoshia Savar. Rabbi Yoshia, who says that I have to just correct what we said in our introduction. We just have to correct. Rabbi Yoshia says that it's not fit, that it's not roy if it was used in the past, and he says that miksiv. Does it say velo ye oved? It says asher lo ye oved ksiv. Again, we're dealing with very fine points in grammar and syntax. So Rabbi Yoshia says that I know that the pasuk is not limited to future prohibition, because it doesn't say velo ye'aved. The pasuk says asher lo ye'aved, in meaning even in the past it wasn't cultivated. Rabbi Yonasan, he is not bothered by the past. Miksiv asher lo ne'evad. Had it said asher lo ne'evad, that would have been very clearly a reference to it never having been in the past cultivated. But it doesn't say that. So therefore, the Torah objection is only lehab, only regarding the future. Rabbi Yoshua's response, Asher, that word Asher, L'sha'ovar mashma. It has a past tense implication. For Yonason, Asher, Ribuihu. The word Asher has a role. It comes to include other avodos besides Zriah, besides planting, but it's not a reference to the past. Umuter lisrok sham pishtonu lenatu sham avonim. The Mishnah said that the place that the Eglah Rufa is processed is mutter for one to comb flax, which is a process leading up to the production of linens, and to chisel stones. Tonu rabbonan asher lo ye'oved bo velo izorea. The Nachal Eson is described as a place that, as we said, not to be Yelvedbo and not to be planted. Ainli Elazria, from the Posuk, I see only planting as being restricted. Shavarus Minayan. How do I know to prohibit other avodos in that area? Talmud Lomar Sho Lo Yelvedbo Mikomoko. When you read the words Asher Lo Yelved, even before you get to the word Yizorea, that Yelved means anything. So if we're including all work done on that site, then why does the Pasuk specify the prohibition of planting? Lomar loch. It tells me this example to serve as a basis, as an archetype. Ma zriya miuchedes shibagufa shokarka, just like zriya is unique in that it's something that's done within the ground itself, not on the surface of the ground, but you dig into the ground to deposit the seed or the sapling. Af kol shibagufa shokarka, so to any other activity that has that characteristic, that would be prohibited. However, yotza, to the exclusion of srikas pishton v'nikur avonim, the combing of flax or the chiseling of stone, she'enon begufa shokarka. It's not something you do in the ground itself. You're doing it on the surface, on top. You're sitting there with a table and with implements, and that and you're doing these activities, but they're not like planting in the sense it's not begufa shokarka. The Gemara asks again a similar style of questioning that we saw before with the klalu prat question, the ema asher lo yaveid bo klal. That is a general statement that it's a place that shall not have any work done there. And the lo yizorea prat, that's a specific example. Klalu prat ein b'chalu mashiv prat. Let me say that you have a general followed by a specific, and therefore the only thing that would be derived from here is Zriya in midiachrino lo. Planting is that which is prohibited, but not other activities, even if they are in the ground. Asher ribuihu. The word asher, and this we saw above, Rabbi Yonason made reference to this, that the word asher is an inclusive or inclusionary expression to tell me not to limit the prohibition to planting alone. Ziknei ho'ir rochatzin yudeim v'chulei. The elders of the city closest to the victim wash their hands. Ton Rabbanan, the Pasuk says, V'chol ziknei o'ir ha'hi ha'kroivim el'cholol. The elders of the city closest to the corpse, Yirchatsu es yideim al ho'eglo harufa v'nachal. They wash their hands and over the calf whose neck was broken there in the ravine. She'en tamud lomer ho'arufa. There isn't any seeming necessity of having the word ho'arufa. It could have simply said esidem al ho'egla, and I know that it's a reference to the egla rufa. Ma umatamud lomer ho'arufa. Why does the Torah add that word over here? Answer: al mokoim arifasa shel egla. The Pasuk is telling me that the washing of the hands is to be done on the spot where the Egel's neck was broken. The Pasuk says, V'onu v'omru, Yodenu lo shofchu es hadam azev, Einenu lo ro'u. the sages of the city declare, we did not murder this person and our eyes did not see. Well, if you're going to leave the pasuk in its simple translation form, it's kind of wondrous. It's kind of mystifying. V'chi'al libenu, also shebeis in shofun domu. Would you have thought that the court are murderers? Elo, lo ba liyodenu. When they say yodenu lo shofus adam, it means as follows: that this victim is not. They declare that he did not come to us, upachanuhu below mazonos, and we let him go on his trip, this as a wayfarer without any food. Of course, if anyone would have come to us and they were travelers, we wouldn't let them go without giving them food. Letting a person go on a trip without food is an ingredient for disaster. Person who's going to find himself hungry on the road, sees other people with food walking by, he might very well attack them to rob them of their food, and the people will defend themselves and kill this guy who's trying to attack them. That would be grounds for, that would be, an atmosphere or a background for a murder to take place. So the sages of the community are declaring, we didn't allow a situation like that to arise where a wayfarer would have come by us and let him go without food. Velo ro'inuhu finachnu below levion. When they say veinenu lo ro, they're declaring that we didn't let him go on the road without any accompaniment. Levia is to accompany someone. Tanya. And here we have a discussion that's introduced on the side by a nosei, topic heading, Lavois Baderach, to accompany travelers. The Gemara, Tanya, Hoya Rabbi Meir Omer Koifin Lilavia. We force accompaniment. That means if someone is hosting a guest and the guest is about to depart and the host doesn't want to accompany his guest out, we force him to accompany his guest out. Later, the Gemara will deal with how far do you have to go, but we're dealing with the general idea of accompanying a person. Shishchar halavia ein lo shiur. The reward for accompanying someone has no limit. Shenemar, and here we are presented with a biblical account from the book of Judges, from Sefer Shoftim, where in the Perek Aleph of Sefer Shoftim, there's a description of the Jewish people during the period of conquest of the land of Israel, and the pasuk opens up with some military scouts that are approaching a city, and they don't know it seems to be a walled, a fortified city, and they want these scouts of the Jewish army want to know where is the entrance. And it says in the pasuk, Shenemar, Vayiru Hashoichim Ish Yotzei Min HaEir, the Shomrim, the scouts, the guards, the scouts, military people, saw a man exiting the city that they were interested in capturing. So they saw a man exiting the city, Vayomru Lo, they said to him, Hareinu No Es Mevo HaEir, Ve'asinu Imcho Chesed, show us how to get into the city and we'll return your kindness. We'll do with you kindness. Uksiv, and the pasuk says vayareim es mevo hoyir. Now we've dashed underlined vayareim, which we'll figure more prominently later in the Gemara. Translated, it means he showed them the entrance to the city. Uma chesed osu imo. Well, in exchange for his showing them the entrance to the city, what favor did they do for him? Shekol osir, that city. Hargu l'fichorav. They were murdered by sword. This was during the conquest of the land of Israel. I have to emphasize God's instructions to the Jewish people. God who created the world and created all of mankind within it. He can tell. He's the boss, and he can tell us what to do. And God's divine commandment to conquer the land includes his command to kill the inhabitants. And that's what happened in that city. The Oisu Ho'ish, and that man, Umishpachto, and his family, Shalchu, they released them. They let them go free. The pasuk says regarding that man, Vayelechu ish eretz hachitim, Vayiven ir vayikro shmo luz hi shmo ad hayom azeh. And that man went to the land of the Chitim, and he built a city calling it by the name Luz, and that's its name to this day. Tanya, he Luz shetsoivin bo tcheles. Luz was a city of fame, the city in which the tcheles, which is a dye that you find, I guess the most common association is with tzitzis. You have tcheles with regard to the Beis Hamikdash and the clothing of the kohanim. So tcheles figures in a number of areas of halacha. The dyeing of fabrics with tcheles took place there in Luz. He Luz Sheba Sancheriv Elo Bilbala. It's the very same Luz that later on King Sancheriv, the emperor of the Assyrian Empire of Ashur, came, and he Sancheriv's method of conquest was involved population redistribution, and he that's Bilbala means to mix up. He would take people from one land and relocate them in another land. Sancheriv, when he came to Luz, lo bilbala, he didn't transfer that population. Nebuchadnezzar came v'lo echriva. He came and destroyed much of Israel, but not Luz. V'af malach hamoves ein lo reshus lavor bo. Even the angel of death doesn't have permission to go into that city. Well, so the people from Luz never die. Elo zekenim sheba, people of old age in Luz, bizman shedaitan kotzalem, when they're, without the literal translation, means when they get sick of living, yoitzin chutz l'choim of a mason, they walk out of the walls of Luz, and there they die. Valo dvarim kavachomer. And from this, we can apply kavachomer logic, and you'll see what the conclusion is. Uma knani zeh, that's a reference to the man that showed the Jewish scouts the way into the town. This Canaanite individual, Shelo diber b'fiv, v'lo holach b'raglov, he didn't say a word, he didn't walk with them to show them the entrance. Goram, he caused Hatzololo Lazaro Asof Kol Hadoros, for he caused himself, his own salvation, and his descendants till the end of time. And as we saw, he went and built up Luz and all of the incredible descriptions of Luz, which was the city in which he and his descendants lived. What an amazing salvation. And all of that was because he helped by with very little action. Just by Yareim, we said before, he showed them. He didn't speak. He didn't walk with them. Mishoisa Levia Baraglov, someone who does something with his feet, who accompanies someone with his feet. He does chesed with his feet by walking with them. Alach Haskama Vakama, when you accompany your guest out, all the more so, you can imagine what the schar, what the reward would be. B'maya her Olahem, we said before, you can see we have arrows to the side. He showed them. How did he show them? Chizkiyomer b'fiv okam lahem, made some kind of, he cringed his mouth, in the direction of where the entrance is, he made some type of like a mouth gesture. And Rabbi Yochanan Amar be'etzbo'o hera lohem, he showed them with his finger. Tanya kavosi Rabbi Yochanan, we have a Tanaic source supporting Rabbi Yochanan's approach. B'shvil sheknani ze hera be'etzbo'oi, he showed them with his finger. Goram atzolo lo lozaro atzov kol ados, he caused salvation for himself and his descendants till the end of generations. I'm sure that there is more depth to this than simply seeing the word Vayareim and asking how did he show them. After all is said and done, the Chazal are not necessarily interested in simply translating words and what's their superficial meaning. In order to preoccupy the greats like Chizkiyah and Rabbi Yochanan and then bring a Tanaic source to support it, there must be some deeper story taking place over here. But we will leave that for some further analysis on another occasion. We have a double underlining scheme, and it's presented on the side under the Mivneh heading. Meimros shel Rabbi Shimon Levi benosei hanal, comments made by Rabbi Shimon Levi regarding the above mentioned topic of accompaniment. Omar Rabbi Shimon Levi, hamahalich baderech v'ein lo levia. A person is walking on the road and he has no one accompanying him. Yasuk b'Torah, should occupy himself with Torah study. Shenemar, regarding Torah, Mishlei, this is a pasuk from Mishlei, the book of Proverbs, and it's understood that the book of Proverbs is contains a lot of analogies that revolve around the study of Torah. So it says, Ki livyas chein heim l'roshecha v'anokim l'gagroisecha. The Livyas is the accompaniment. Haim, Haim is a reference to Divrei Torah. Divrei Torah is a gracious accompaniment. Continuing in the Gemara of Yomar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Bishvil Arba O Psios Sheliva Paro Lavrom, in reward for the, or I should say in as a result of, it's not a reward that we're going to see here, but as a result of the four steps that Paro in the time of Avram accompanied Avram, Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Vayetzav olav paro anoshim, vayishalchu oisoi ve'es ishtoi ve'es kol asher lo." Pasuk describes Avraham departing from his sojourn with Paro, and Paro instructed men to go with him and with Sarah and with all those that were together with Avraham. In short, accompaniment. And what resulted from Paro's concern with Avram and providing him with four steps of accompaniment. Nishtabe bevonov arba meyas shana. Avram's descendants, namely the Jewish people, during their exile in Egypt, were enslaved for 400 years. Notice the four steps, resulting in 400 years of Paro having, we'll say, the upper hand over the Avram and over Avram's descendants. Shenemar v'avdum v'inu oisam arba meos shana. Here the pasuk spells out the 400 years. Omar Yehuda, Omar Rav, kol hamalaves chavero arba amois beir eino nizok. Anyone who accompanies his friend 4 amos, 2 meters, in town, the person, the traveler will not experience damage. He'll be saved, protected. Ravina alve l'rova bar Yitzchok dalet amos beir. Ravina accompanied Rova, the son of Yitzchok, 4 amos in town. Motu liyode hezek of Itzel. Some threatening event, experience presented itself to Rova, and he was saved. As we indicated before, this Gemara too seems to have a certain additional element of understanding. 4 amos and within the city, arba amos beir, how in the world does that serve as protection for someone who's going on the way? So there is something deeper than the simple translation that we are presenting. Nevertheless, we go on in the Gemara. First, we look at the side. We have a nosei we call hemshech, a continuation. Shiurim shonim, different dimensions, different sizes, or different distances. Bekama boy lelavos, how much must one accompany? Tonu rabbonon, harav letalmid, a teacher accompanying his student, ad ibura shelir, until the outer, say, boundary of the city. Ibura shelir is a technical term referring to 70 and 2/3 amos beyond the last house of the city. So the teacher should accompany a student that's going to go on his way till that point. Chover lechover, one friend to another, ad Tchum Shabbos. Tchum Shabbos is a distance of 2,000 amos beyond the city's boundary. Talmud l'rav, ein lo shiur. A student, with regard to a rav, if a rav is visiting a student, the rabbi is visiting the student, and the rabbi is going to go on the way, so the expression in the source is ein lo shiur, there's no amount. Sounds like there's no limit. But yet, the Gemara asks, well, how much? And if the student lives in in New York, and the Rav is going to be traveling from New York to Tokyo. Does that mean the student has to accompany the Rav to Tokyo? So how far? Omar Rav Sheshes ad Parsa. Distance of Parsa. Parsa is 4 mil. 4 mil is approximately 4 kilometers. Velo amoron elo raboi sheino muvok. This distance is regarding a teacher, but not your main teacher. Avo rabo muvok shlosha parsos. If the rav that was visiting you and is now going on his way, you must accompany him 3 parsa, which will be 3 times 4 mil, 12 kilometers. We have diamonds that highlight shnei meisim shel livui, as we indicate on the side of the Gemara. 2 incidents, 2 stories. Rav Kahana alvei the Rav Simi bar Ashimi pumnara ad beit sinisa de Bovel. Rav Kahana accompanied Rav Simi from Pumnara, name of a place, until a location called beit sinisa de Bovel. The word sinisa is a word associated with a palm tree. Kimotu hasam, when they got there, Omar lay. So he said to him, "Vaday dam risu, is it true that which you say? Hani tsiniso de Bovel mishne odom harishon isnu. These palms of Bovel have been from around since the time of odom harishon." Omar le. So he answered, "Ad karta milsa diomer of Yosi bar Hanina." In your question to me, you've reminded me of something that Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanino said. My dichtiv beretz lo ovar bo ish velo yoshav odom sham. The pasuk says a land, a region in which no man ever crossed and no man ever dwelt there. The order of the pasuk is a little bit odd. V'chimeachar shelo ovar, if it's a land region that no man ever even walked there, hechon yoshav, so where would he come to even dwell? Ella, the understanding of the pasuk is as follows: Eretz shegozer aleh odom harishon liyishuv nisyashva, a land region that Adam ruled shall be inhabited, became inhabited by people, populated by people. Eretz shelo gozer aleh odom harishon lo nisyashva, land regions where odom harishon did not rule that it shall be populated, it would remain unpopulated. And Rashi explains that the reference to these palms is that this area was an area that Adam never ruled should be populated by people, only by palms. Rav Mordechai alvei l'Rav Ashi mehagronya v'ad bei kifi v'amri lo. Another version is ad bei dura. Rav Mordechai accompanied Rav Ashi from these places. These were known places in the time of the Gemara, so the people of the Gemara could certainly appreciate the distances. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yochanan says, in the name of Rabbi Meir, Kol she'eno melavu mislava ki lishoifech domim. Anyone who doesn't accompany others and doesn't allow himself to be accompanied is as if he is shedding blood. And we're about to, this that serves as the, we'll say, the opening for the Gemara. The topic heading on the side, the Nosei, reads Elisha, the Anshe Yericho, Elisha the prophet, and the people of Yericho. If you open up the Tanakh, and we recommend looking at the book of Kings, Kings 2, Melachim Beis, Perek Beis, chapter 2, Psukim Tezvov through Chafei, Psukim verses 15 through 25, which takes you to the end of the Perek. There you will see a story involving the townspeople of Yericho suffering from a bitter water supply, and Elisha performs a miracle, sweetening the waters for the people of Yericho. We can point out that when the city was suffering from bitter waters, there was a small segment of the population that was gainfully employed in a, let's say, a lucrative occupation of supplying water, let's say bottled water, jugged water. With Elisha's miracle, so they lost their income. They're now They have to go find a new job. That's by way of background. So Rabbi Meir just taught us that people who go on the road unaccompanied are, what if they don't accompany others or don't allow themselves to be accompanied, it's tantamount to shedding blood. Shilmole livu anshi Yericho l'Elisha, had the townsfolk of Yericho accompanied Elisha on his way, then logira dubim latinoikas. Elisha would have had no reason to arouse the bears to kill the vagrant youth that started to taunt him. From the context of the Gemara, had Elisha been accompanied by a party of people, so these vagrants wouldn't have come to taunt Elisha in the first place. But because Elisha was alone, they felt they can tell him a thing or two. And these, we'll see, are the people whose livelihood was just curtailed. The whole story wouldn't have come up had they Anshei Yericho accompanied Elisha. Shinemar. And you'll see the Gemara gives you the background. Vayal Mishon Beisel, Vahu Olo Baderech. Elisha departed from Yericho after rendering the miracle, and he was on the road. Vinorim Ktanim Yotsu Min Aderech Vizkalsubo. And these youthful individuals, the Gemara will analyze the expression. Norim Ktanim, there's actually a seeming contradiction in that phrase. Norim is a teenager, a young person. Ktanim means toddlers, minors. So these Norim Tanim, Yotsu Min Aderech Vizkalsubo, they started to degrade him, to taunt him. Vayomru Lo Alei Kereach, Alei Kereach. Now, literally translated means, oh, come up, all bald one. The word Kereach indicates baldness. Well, baldness is often associated with the loss of hair from one's head. However, there's another dimension to this in the Gemara. Omru Lo, they were saying to him, Alei Shekrachto Olenu Es Hamokoim. You, come forth, you who ripped out hair that falls out, indicates something fell out. What happened with them? Their parnosa, their income fell away. You caused us to lose our parnosa while the city's waters were bitter, so we had a lucrative income by supplying them with water. Now you've caused us to lose our income. So that was their taunt to this great man, the prophet of Israel. My unaorim ketanim, as we said, those are terms that naorim is a certain age that's a little bit older than ketanim. Ketanim is younger, naorim is older. So how can they be described as by two contradictory terms? Amra belozer, sheminu orim min hamitzvos. The word na'ar means they were shaken out, meaning emptied out of mitzvahs. These were people that were wicked. They had no merits to them. And so that, as far as the drosh is concerned, they might have been, they're not young people at all. They're people in their middle age. And Orim Ketanim is a description of the people. They were Menu Orim in HaMitzvahs, Ketanim Shemikatne Amona. They were a people of little faith. Meaning, Rashi says toward the end, five lines from the end, "Mikatan Hamon Shoy Doagim Sheposka Parnasosa Bishvil Shenisrap Lamayim." They were all upset and incensed over their loss of income. Where's their faith? Where's their amona? Their faith in the Almighty's capacity of providing alternative sources of income? But no, they were ripping into this prophet and cursing him out because he changed. Change the situation, thereby eliminating their current form of income. Tono neorim hoyu ubizvizu atzmon kiketanim. The second approach is, in fact, they were youths, but they behaved like infants. They behaved like little kids. Maskiflor of Yosef v'dilmo al shem mekomon. The word neorim, maybe it's not a description of the people at all, but rather it's a reference to their place of origin. Mi lo ksiv, do we not have a posuk in which a very similar word appears? It says vi aram yotsu gedudim vayishbu me'eretz Yisrael ne'ora ketano. It says the Aramites came forth in military troops, and they captured from Israel Naro Ketano. Vakashilan, we ask, Naro Ketano, it's a contradiction. A Naro is a youthful woman, and a Ketano is a minor. V'yomar Pados Ketano demin ne'uron. When it says Naro, it means it's a reference to her place where she was from. They captured, in that pasuk with Aram captured a toddler, a young, a child from a place called Ne'uron. And a person who's called from Ne'uron is called a Na'ara. So why, in the case of the story with Elisha, when the pasuk says Ne'orim Ketanim, it said Ne'orim Ketanim Yotzim Min Aderech, why does it not mean children from Ne'uron? The Gemara answers, Hosam lo meforish mekoma. In the case of Aram and the capture of the girl, it doesn't specify any location in the story. So we can assume that Nara is the location from which she was from. Haha, but in the story with Elisha, Mefurash Mekoman, in the context, you can see, and Rashi says, their place of origin was specified, namely Yericho, and therefore Yericho and not Ne'uron. Vayifan Achra, Vayir'im, Vayikalilem B'Shem Hashem, the prophet saw these disgraceful people, disgraceful youth possibly, and he cursed them in the name of God. Ma Ra'ah, the pasuk says, Vayir'im, what did he see? You see triangles on the side under our Mivne heading. You see there Dalit Pirushim, there are four explanations, Vayir'im, the pasuk, Vayifan Achra, Vayir'im. Four explanations. Omar Rav, Ro'o, Mamash. Elisha turned around and he saw them. He looked at them. He gazed upon them. Literally. Kidisanya. And when we see in the pasuk that they died, what does his looking upon them have to do with death? The Brisa says, Rav Shmuel Omer, Komokum shenosnu chachomim einehem, wherever sages cast their eyes, chastisement, in rebuke, they look upon something, O Misa, O Oni, there follows either death or impoverishment. Ushmul Amar Ro'o Shekula Nisabro Bohen Imon V'Yom HaKippurim. Shmuel says that the prophet perceived, he perceived that they were born as a result of their mothers becoming impregnated on Yom Kippur. Intimate relations on Yom Kippur is strictly forbidden. So these people who were taunting the prophet were the products of intimacy that took place on the part of their parents on Yom Kippur. Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha Omar Bloiris Ro'o Lohen Ke'em Moroyim. He saw that they had a type of haircut. Blurus is a specific form of haircut. In other Gemaras, it's a case where one's head is shaven around, leaving hair growing out from the middle, which is a practice of idol worshippers. And that's what the prophet saw. He saw them as Emorites, a nation of idol worshippers. Rabbi Yochanan, Omar, Ro, Shalohois, Ben, Lichluchis, Shal Mitzvah. Rabbi Yochanan, similar to the explanation we saw above, he saw that they had no lichluchus means freshness, no dampness, no freshness of mitzvah fulfillment. They were dry. They were dried out. They had no mitzvahs. The Dilma Bizarayu Nevu Havu. Maybe their descendants would have mitzvahs. And in the story, we know that the prophet, in effect, killed them. Fine, they didn't have mitzvahs, but to kill them means they're not going to have any further descendants. Maybe they would have had mitzvahs. Omre Belozer, lo bom velo bezarom ha'tzov kol adoros. The Navi perceived that there was no mitzvahs, not in them, not in any of their future generations either. That's something, of course, that a prophet could have the power to perceive. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.